There's something about Fusatsu that makes you happy to sit back down again. It's a fitting way to, as we draw this retreat to a close, to go through our atonement ceremony and remember the importance of the precepts in our lives. As several of the speakers alluded to the precepts, because we've been involved during this retreat so much with the power of the prajna, of the wisdom of the Diamond Sutra, as part of the Perfection of Wisdom Sutras, we can quite, it's a little heady, and not to forget the Sangha, not to forget the people, our human relations. And that's what the precepts are about, is how we are as human beings with one another. You know, the three treasures, the Buddha treasure is the treasure of samadhi, really, this treasure of seeing. And the Dharma treasure is how we see, the cutting through, the diamond cutter, and the lotus, and the other sutras, the Parinirvana Sutra, each one having something else, or the Huayan teachings, the flower ornament, also prajna. And then there's Sangha, the third treasure. How are we together? So important to remember the precepts, to be the precept, as Ryotan Sensei said today, to embody this quality. You know, we, in our tradition, singled out 10 grave precepts: non-harming, non-stealing, non-lying, not abusing sex, not clouding our mind, not speaking ill of others, not trying to raise ourselves above others, not being stingy, not holding grudges and anger, and honoring ourselves as instruments of peacemaking, not defaming the three treasures. So actually that 10th one actually encompasses all of the other 9, honoring our life as an instrument of peacemaking, or in the traditional phrase, not defaming or not besmirching the three treasures: the treasure of the Buddha, the treasure of the Dharma, and the treasure of the Sangha. It's something that we can hold, and it will help us as we become aware of our precept nature. The more we practice Zazen, the more we study the teachings, the more clearly defined the precepts will arise out of our being. Well, I encourage you, whether you've done your precept study with us at some point, some summer, I encourage you to continue to study the precepts all your life. Each time something else comes out of them. Each time you look at a precept. So this ceremony that we just were actualizing together is the ceremony of atonement. That's a Western word. It's actually a medieval Christian word. At-one-ment. That we have taken. The Sanskrit and the Chinese have a bit about turning, the turning of the Dharma, and the turning of our awareness back to what we have done. So it's like an at-one-ment, atonement, becoming one with. And we chant the verse of atonement every morning, it's a good thing to do. All evil or all unwholesome, unskillful karma ever committed by me since of old. So, just like Keizan Sensei said about Keizan Zenji, one of the third Dharma teacher after Dogen in his line, when he was talking about what Shakyamuni said, when he said, I and all sentient beings are enlightened, he said, who is I? And I'm asking you, who is me? All evil karma ever committed by me. Who is that me? That's a question we've been playing with all week. Who is that me? Is it just this skin bag? And if so, what about the skin bag that woke up this morning? Is it that one too? Or that one that was born many years ago in Dallas, Texas? How crazy is that? Which one is me? All evil karma ever committed by me. So I think it has to be also people 100 years ago, my ancestors, maybe the ones that painted themselves blue and came out of the ground to fight the invaders. Maybe the ancestors that lived in caves. All. It's so magnificent. I mean, it's sad, but it's so magnificent to just say, it's all mine. All that karma is mine. And I atone for it all. I make it mine. I become one with it. There's no other then to blame and to harm and to steal from and to lie to. All evil karma ever committed by me since of old. And then because of the three poisons, because of my beginningless greed, anger, and ignorance, the kind of the three qualities in the Buddhist tradition that they've pointed out are kind of at the source of so much of our suffering and the suffering that we cause others. Because my beginning was greed, anger, and ignorance. Born of my body, mind, and speech. That's the way it comes out. Now I atone for it all. It's so important for us to do on a regular basis, to recognize our relationship with all the karma and our responsibility now. How we live our life and how we affect those around us and those to come. So that's that wonderful beginning to this ceremony, this ritual, which is an embodiment of an intention. And then once we've atoned, we take on those energies, which are kind of these beautiful ideas that the Diamond Sutra is telling us, hey, they're just ideas, right? They don't actually exist, the past seven Buddhas. But isn't it nice to think that there were past seven Buddhas? And actually, in the Diamond Sutra, it tells you there's millions of past Buddhas, if you remember that section. What does that mean? Don't raise up one Buddha. Don't raise up one. See them all in yourself, in your own karma. So we say, Namu. And you know, Namu, and we do that over and over again, and we translate it as being one with. And that's a core difference in our tradition, because many other than Zen traditions translate the same ceremony as Hail To. Okay, but isn't there a big difference between Hail to Shakyamuni Buddha and being one with Shakyamuni Buddha. You know, it's wonderful to say this is a wonderful character out there, but it's even more powerful to bring it into your own being. I am one with Shakyamuni Buddha, the spirit of enlightenment, the one who woke up. I am one with Manjusri Bodhisattva, the one who cuts away the delusions. I am one with Samantabhadra Bodhisattva, the powerful one that rides an elephant and speaks to the power and importance of intention and vow. That's what Samantabhadra stands for in so much of our iconography. And maybe we'll look at the Flower Ornament Sutra next year, in which Samantabhadra plays a really strong role as this powerful figure. And I personally, when I'm feeling kind of weak and funky, I like to bring up Samantabhadra Bodhisattva, because he's so strong, and I can just kind of get on that elephant and behave myself. When I say funky, I mean not behaving myself. So then we say, you know, having that energy, that powerful energy of Shakyamuni, of Samantabhadra, of Manjusri, then we are able to express that wonderful energy of Avalokiteshvara, the Bodhisattva of compassion, who in the Himalayan tradition is a male, young male figure, and in the Chinese, late Chinese and Japanese traditions, female figure, so we can all kind of relate to this figure that is got a lot of tools to help people and is constantly lives a life of service, essentially, Avalokiteshvara, with great compassion. Not the kind of services, I'm going to do you a favor, but a life of compassion. And then the final one we say, Namu, I am one with Maitreya Buddha, the great one to come. Maitreya, the Buddha to come. So it's on you to become Maitreya. So when we've completed that process, then we're in a position to do the four vows, which we chanted at the end of that part of the ceremony. And a little part of the ceremony where the kaishi, the person who's teaching the kai is the precepts, comes up and sits down, and you offer bows in the direction of the precept teacher, which is, you know, this whatever's here at that time. It's so important for us to strongly recognize the importance of the precepts in our lives, to really see it and not get so caught up with our opinions about when we're right and when we're wrong and when we can do this or that, but to really look at the precepts deeply, really care about the precepts. I'm not going to say very much about the 10th precept. That is the one that I mentioned, which I think encompasses all of them. Not defaming the three treasures, not besmirching the three treasures, not slandering them, by honoring who you are, by how you conduct your life, your own ethical behavior. That's how you take care of the three treasures, by your own life. And you know, Bodhidharma said something about this. He said, self-nature is subtle and mysterious. In the realm of the one, not creating dualistic ideas of sages and ordinary people is called the precept of not defaming the three treasures. So, not creating dualistic concepts. That's what we've been talking about throughout the session, isn't it? Not raising something up and putting something down. Oh, I'm just an ordinary person and he's a sage. Or that's the right way and this is the wrong way. Not falling into that dualism is what Bodhidharma is reminding us of. And when we don't fall into that dualism, then we uphold the three treasures and we don't defame them. And Dogen said, the Taisho, you know, Taisho means the teaching of the body, of the great body. The Taisho of the actual body is a harbor and a weir. You know, so the teaching of the actual body, what body is that? That's your body. It's not my body. It's your body. So the actual teaching of your body is a harbor and a weir. It's both a harbor, it protects, right? When ships or fish or person swimming senses bad weather or something comes into the harbor. And a weir is a place where fish regenerate. They drop eggs and seed and they make new fish. And then if you've ever seen a weir, it's very exciting because they swim around and around in a circle and it's a beautiful thing to see. Manifesting new energy. Huh? The Taisho of the actual body, manifests energy, manifests compassion, expresses it. He says, this comes from the ocean of essential nature. This comes from your own nature. It's not something received. And then I love this. He says, but we don't understand it. We just appreciate it. That's sweet. Because it's not understanding that we're about, particularly in the Zen tradition. You know, that's just kind of like the front door. It's not where the business is. The business is in your recognition internally of what we're pointing to all this time. So he says, we don't understand it. We can just appreciate it. And I think that's what we've been about this time. We've been appreciating it through the eye of the Diamond Sutra. So beautiful. The Zen peacemakers, which is kind of the modern version of this last precept, as I said, we just say, honoring our lives as an instrument of peacemaking is the precept of not defaming the three treasures. Because unless we honor our lives as they are right now and in each moment, everything gets twisted otherwise. And I've heard that teaching from the first day, Joshin Sensei, and then Myoko Shinryu Sensei, Myoko Sensei, Eisho Hoshi, Ryotan Sensei, all of them telling us over and over again, it's here. That's what koan study's about. It's here, not over there. Really recognizing that. So that's the joy of doing the atonement ceremony. I encourage you to come to the Zendo and practice. We do it once a month there. And maybe come study the precepts with us. This year we're going to be studying the precepts once a month at the Zendo.